Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
This morning we are going to talk about faith. Amen. All the worship that went forth on this morning and all the words that went forth were just so confirming. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith, now, right now, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you know that sometimes, you know, when we're looking for things, we're looking for God to move right away. But if he gave them to you right away, then how can your faith develop? It has to not be there for you to believe it, amen? It has to not be in sight for you to take hold of the faith that God wants to grow you up in, amen? And so don't lose heart. Don't faint as we continue this journey. Amen. Everything that God has promised you, he's going to deliver. Amen. Amen. Our text is going to come from this morning, Hebrews 10, starting at verse 35. And when you have it, say amen. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Skip over to 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. How many of you know that when you're believing God for things, you have to stand right there and just simply believe? I don't care how it looks. We still have to believe that God is going to do what he said that he was going to do. The scripture says that he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent for lying. If he said it, then it's going to come to pass. But we have to stand in that confidence, knowing that he is going to do just what he told you he was going to do. He said, you can't lose that, because if you lose your confidence, the enemy has you. If you lose your confidence, you're going to shrink back in doubt. You can't look at what's presented, because sometimes what's presented is only to discourage you. But you've got to keep your eyes stayed, and you've got to keep your attention fixed on God, the author and the finisher of your faith. You've got to set your focus on him, and you've got to look straight into the hills, because that's where your help is going to come from. That's why the Bible tells us to trust him. That means I need to lean and I need to depend on him. Now y'all go with me, because I have no notes. Trust him. Trust him and believe him at his word, because if he told you he was going to do it, you need to be on your porch and you need to be a looking and a watching until he performs that which he said he was going to do. And he's not going to finish the work until your part is played. See, the book has already been written on you. You're starting to walk out the pages, but what the enemy wants you to do is be discouraged. He wants you to look at what's going on, and he wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to cast away your confidence. He wants you to become afraid because you see the bills coming. You see the crime that's in the streets. You see your marriage is sometimes crumbling. You see all the stuff going on in the economy and on your job, and sometimes that leaves you shaking in your boots. But God is saying, I need you to trust me at all costs. I need you not to throw away your confidence. Don't throw in the towel. Pick that towel back up. Wipe them tears and stand. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't be entangled with doubt. Don't be entangled with fear. Don't be entangled with what everybody got to say. Look to the hills and see what God has to say. He said, we just need patience. You see, just like over in the book of Genesis, over when God told Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son. How many of you know that was a hard thing to do? Over in Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1, he told Abraham, I need you to go, and I need, let me make sure y'all, wait a minute, I don't want to mess up my stuff. Now, wait, got a couple of scriptures with Abraham, so I don't want to mess that up, because I got two of them. Wait a minute. He said, I need you to go, and I need you to sacrifice your son. Amen. Nope, that's not the one. It's Genesis 22. That's the one I want, y'all. Sorry about that. We're going to get to Genesis 12. But he told him, I need you to sacrifice your son. And when it came down to it, this test that God had him to encounter, how many of you know that the scripture didn't list how Abraham felt about it? It didn't list how Abraham even thought about it. He just got up and he did it anyway. How many of you know when God challenges you to do something, sometimes he don't need to hear what you feel about it, what you think about it. You just need to get up and go. Because when you start processing how you feel about it, then your emotions are going to get wrapped up and tied up into it. And that ain't going to be nothing but a trick of the enemy to keep you from doing it. You know what Abraham did? Read it in 22. Let me tell you what he did, brother. He said, come on, lads. Took two of his boys, he said, and he took his son Isaac. He said, now listen, we're going to go to a mountain. We're going up this mountain. Now y'all stay back here. Me and the lad are going to worship, and when we're done, we're going to come back. Now I need you to acknowledge the faith. We are coming back. That means I know what's getting ready to go down. However, we coming back. Because God is not a man that he should lie. If he told me he was going to give me a son, he's going to make good on his word. God is not fickle, so if he's going to do this thing, he's going to raise him up. They went up. He put the wood on Isaac's back. Isaac was like, where's the sacrifice? Son, God will provide. Don't even worry about it. God will provide. Now, God is in this thing. Let me tell you something. God is in the things that scare you. Because the Bible doesn't even talk about how Isaac felt about it. He just went, the wood on his back. And when his father began to set the sacrifice scene up, and he began to bind him down, and he begins to go back with the knife, the stake, and begins to, you know, attempt to kill his son, to sacrifice his son, because God told him to. The angel of the Lord said, wait now. I see you believe, and I see you have faith. Don't do that. And guess what? There was a ram in the thicket. See, when you are obedient, God will allow you to experience some things, but there will always be a ram in the bush because you were obedient to do that which God told you to do. You don't have to understand it. You just have to get up and go. Don't process it, just get up and go. Don't think about it, just get up and go. And because he did this, he was blessed. Because he did not withhold that which was precious to him. Let me tell you something. In this hour, some of us are going to have to give up some things. But you can't be afraid to give up, because if God told you to give it up, he gonna bless you with better. If God told you to close that door, there's another one open. If God told you to leave that thing alone, guess what? He has something else planned for you. The book is not finished on you. You just need to read to be continued. You may not understand what's going on, but look at your neighbor and say, be continued. Because God has a plan for your life, but you have to get up and you have to go just like Abraham without understanding. Without understanding. You see, God is not going to give you all the pieces. If God gave you all the pieces, you wouldn't do it. Some of us are not tough like Abraham. We can't handle the pieces, the small parts, the fragments. We can't handle all the details of our story, because if he told us all the details of our story, we would never get to the place called destiny, because you don't understand what it's going to take to get you where you got to go. If you knew how you had to be processed, if you knew how you had to be tested, if you knew they were going to lie on you, if you knew you was going to lose some things before you got to the place called destiny, you would never go. So he got to unfold stuff in segments to be continued. Part two, that's right, baby. Part two, part three. Because you can't handle the full story. If I give you everything, you're going to back up from it, because fear is going to grip your heart. So what he does in the process of being continued, he strengthens you and he fortifies you and he establishes you so that you can feel the power of the Almighty God, that you would be able to stand. But if you process this thing when he tell you to do something, you're not going to make it to the place called blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, if you want to make it to the place called bless, you just got to get up and go. Another point in the story. Abraham didn't let the lads go, because everybody can't go where you're going. Everybody is not equipped to handle this blessing. Everybody is not equipped to handle the anointing that you have. Everybody don't walk in the same caliber of faith that you have. So you can't take everybody with you. When you tell somebody that you got to sacrifice something, you don't need them and their opinion. You don't need them saying anything about it, because they're going to keep you from going. So you got to leave the lads back. I'm going to have to leave you back here as we go and worship and handle God's business. You got to leave them back there. Not that they ain't no good, but right now we got to handle a little business. And you're not able at this level to handle this type of business, because I can't deal with your opinion right now. There will be moments that you're going to have to leave folks behind, because you can't go on opinions. Opinions will leave you stuck. Opinions will leave you without a blessing. Opinion will cause you to step back and move in your emotions, and you just simply don't have time for that. And so you stay back here. Y'all stay back here. And me and Isaac are going to go, and we're going to worship. And we're going to come back after we handle God's business. See, and that's the place where he wants us in. That we will leave whatever is precious. That we will leave, listen, that we will leave whatever is dear to our heart. That we will follow him no matter what the cost is. His son, the one that was promised, you're challenging him and you're testing him and you're saying, kill him for me. What will you kill for Christ? Mm. What are you holding so precious? What is so dear to you? What are you so wrapped up in? What will you kill for Christ? And say, if I leave you, I got to go, because I got to get with you. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from worship? What's keeping you from his presence?
What's keeping you from being anointed? What's keeping you from being sanctified? What's keeping you from being justified? What's keeping you out of position? What's keeping you? What's holding you back? Is it the land, people, and what they think? What's keeping you? Selah. Yeah, ponder that for a moment. Let's go back over to our text in Hebrews. Thank you, Jesus. Because God is saying here in verse 39, we cannot shrink back into perdition. We are not to do that. We are not to be that way. Like them that, we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. So he's saying here, we can't shrink back into our old behaviors. Just because things are not going the way that you plan for them to go, that don't mean you're supposed to stop. Just because things are not turning out the way that you wanted them to turn out, that don't mean that you're supposed to shrink back and get into this fear mode. This is why the Bible tells us to trust him. This is why the Bible tells us to trust and to depend on him, because he doesn't want us to shrink back looking at what's going on in front of us. But he wants us to lean and depend on him, understanding that if he told you to do it, and if he gave it to you, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. But you got to trust him, and you got to believe him at his word. Because the Bible says over in 6 of 11, it's impossible to please him if you don't have faith. You see, you can't do this thing called Christianity if you don't have faith. Because this walk is going to take you some places that you're not ready in your flesh to go. So you've got to believe and trust and depend on him. You've got to lean on him just like you trust that chair when you sat down or that bench when you sat down. He needs more than that. You had faith enough to sit down and to believe that you weren't going to fall through the floor when you sat down. God is saying, I need you to lean on me and trust that I will not allow you to fall, but trust and know that I got you. I got you wherever you go. I got you in the face of people. I got you when you're in situations. I got you. But trust me and understand that if I called you to it, I'm going to see you through it. Now, here's the thing. If he didn't call you to it, don't expect the help. If he didn't call you to it, don't expect the help. Because sometimes we'll ask God for things, and then we'll get mad when we don't get them. See, God is not to be manipulated, okay? You know, I've heard it said when you talk about faith, because see, there are components of faith, you know, and when you talk about faith, sometimes people believe that they can name it and claim it. But that's not real. That's not true. You can't just name and claim everything. Because you'll have people naming and claiming other people's husbands and naming and claiming jobs that they have no experience for. Naming and claiming is not faith. That's foolishness. Because if you're not supposed to have it, then God is not going to give it to you. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. If you desire something and you want to pray about it and you want to seek him about it, that's okay to ask about that thing. Amen. But be ready for the answer, because it might be no. Amen. It might be no. It might be disappointment. Because how many of you know we hear what we want to hear? Sometimes we'll be in prayer and we'll be like, he said I can have it. No, he didn't. That's your emotion. God did not say that. And so we get mad when it doesn't happen. But God is saying, I need you to seek me when you ask for things so that your motives will be pure. Don't ask amiss, but ask with the right intention. Ask with the right motive. Is it going to glorify God if he gives you this or that? How is God going to benefit? How is he going to be exalted if he gives you this or if he gives you that? Amen? And so when we ask for things, we have to have the right heart. How many of you know some people ask for things because they're jealous and they want to compete and they want to compare? How many of you know you ain't getting that stuff you asking for? Because that's not the right intent. But when we come to God about a situation, about something that we need to come with a right and a pure heart. Not with jealousy, not with competition, not trying to be better, but just trying to do the will of him that sent me. Amen. Because it's impossible to please him. So when we come and we ask, it's impossible to please him without faith. So when we come and when we ask, we need to have the right heart and the right motivation. Amen. Amen. I'm reminded again of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 when he began to go to a place like we talked about earlier. Go to a place where you know not. This is God challenging Abraham again. Abraham was an example of faith like none other. Didn't have all the pieces, but God told him, I'm going to show you as you go. How many of you know that God is going to show you what he's going to do in your life as you go? But if you stand still, you won't be able to see as you go because you're still. So we got to keep moving. Amen. And he will unfold this thing as you go. But we can't leave our confidence on the stoop. We got to stand in confidence knowing that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Flip over to 12 of Hebrews. And it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. Look at all those that went before you. They died, not all having received the promise. We have examples even in our own family of people believing God for things, and some coming to pass and some not. Amen. But he's saying here is, don't let any weight keep you from reaching what I have intended for you to do. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside and keep running. Don't let what you think, don't let what's going on in the world keep you from running this race that I have set you on. How many of you know that some people have stopped and some people are hindered because they are looking around them distracted and it has stopped them from moving forward? This pandemic has stopped people from moving forward. This pandemic has locked people into fear and they are not moving forward. Our mindset can keep us from moving forward. We have relationships that we can establish and people that we can love on, but our mindset will keep us. These are different weights that will keep us from running the race and believing God to see the end of what he said he was going to do in our lives. Amen. Jesus knew what he had to endure. He knew that he had to endure the cross, but he put all of that aside to look for the end result. How many of you are looking at the end result, or are you just looking at the here and now? Looking at the here and now will keep you from the blessing, which is at the end of the result. And so if you want the blessing, you've got to look past the here and now. You got to look past the trials and you got to look past the tribulations. Yes, you are going through those things, but that's not the end of the story. And when you understand that that's not the end of the story and that's not the end all and be all, and that God has a blessing for you, then you need to be able to look past those things and say, but God got something better. I'm not going to always be here. But you can't let those weights, what you think, what other people think, and what you do, what you see, you can't let those things keep you at a standstill. But you've got to endure and keep moving. You've got to stay focused. Focus in this hour is a big word for some of us. We can't do one thing at a time, but we're always doing multiple things. We always think we need to multitask. God is saying, in order for you to hear me in this hour, in order for you to move forward in this hour, I'm going to need your undivided attention. I'm going to need you to be focused on what I've called you to, on what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to need your undivided attention. If you want to be blessed, I'm going to need your attention. If you want to make it past where you are, I'm going to need your attention. I'm going to need you to put your eyes on me no matter how it looks, no matter how heavy the weight is. I'm going to need you to press forward and keep your eyes stayed on me. That's important in this hour because you're not going to make it if you don't. You're not going to make it if you don't put your eyes on Christ. You're going to fall back into fear. You're going to fall back into doubt. You're going to lose your confidence if you don't keep your eyes fixed on Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to continue. I've been challenged enough in my life. I want to continue. I've been through enough hell and high water. I want to continue. And so I've got to put my eyes. I've got to look to the hills. That's where my help comes from, not my friend, not my brother. Listen, my help comes from God. My dependence is on him. And so I want to challenge you today to trust him even more. Even the more where you are in your finances, where you are in your relationship, where you are on your job, whatever the situation is, I need you to trust him just a little bit more. And I need you to press out of this lack of confidence a little bit more. I just need you to get your confidence back, get your footing back, and believe God at his word. Because if he said that it was going to come to pass in your life, you just need to watch on your porch and wait until it happens. We're losing faith in this hour, saints. And God wants us to stand up and just wait on him. You've got to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. But you got to wait on him. You've got to set it in your mind that I'm going to continue. I'm going to stick in here. I'm not going to shrink back, but I'm going to believe God at his word. I'm going to get into his word and find out what applies to me in my situation. And I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to believe it. This word is our food. And if you don't eat it, guess what? You're going to be malnourished. So it requires, this walk requires us to eat his word. This is how our faith is built up, that we are able to recall the word. You may not be able to recall the chapter or the verse, but you know it's in there because you put it in there. You know it's in you because you put it in you. And so in those hard times, you need to be able to pull from the reservoir of what's in you. That word that keeps you, that word that strengthens you, that word that fortifies you. That's how you build your faith. That's how you stay focused. That's how you stay fixed with your attention on him. Well, you say, Pastor Sean, I don't think I can do that. Too much is going on. That's what I'm saying. Your focus, you're doing too much. Your focus is off. This is why you're slipping back. Your focus is off. Look at your neighbor and say, is your focus off? Whisper, now don't get in there. Don't tell everybody your business. Is your focus off? Is your focus off? Is this why you're losing faith? Have you forsaken yourselves with the assembling of the brethren? Is this why you're losing confidence? I don't know about you, but when I come into the room, I feel my help. I feel my help. God is challenging us, saints. I'm about to go. Come into the room. Come into the room. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want your burden to be light? Come. You want rest for your soul? Come. Stop trying to do it in your own might. How many of you know that this is why folks dying today? That's right. This is why folks are dying today, because we're trying to do it in our own power, and we're not equipped to handle it. We're not equipped to handle the pressures that Pastor Rod felt on his shoulders. We are not equipped for that. And so there comes a time when you have to set your face aflint and you have to give God your undivided attention. You have to shut the door to lack of confidence and self-doubt and fear. You've got to shut the door and you've got to put your eyes and your attention on your maker so that he can give you the strength that you need. Stand with me today.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org. and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.